Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to another episode of All About Service Dogs, hosted by yours truly, Doc Vinsel. Tonight, our show will be featuring Peter Corpus, and he is a trainer and owner at A Pack Nation Dog Training. He's going to talk to us a little bit tonight and let us know about what he's doing out there and the wonderful things he can help people with. And we'll just see if he can help us to help ourselves. And so, Peter, greet the people. I don't know if you've got your end taken care of yet. I hear some action over there. If you're ready,
Hello, Doc. Good evening. And, of course, good evening to everybody out there.
Great.
I did go and get another headset.
Okay, this one sounds a little bit better. I'm not getting any kind of feedback or anything. So this one should be a go. And folks out there, if you are hearing us and you are hearing something that doesn't sound quite right, please drop a message in so we could fix it as the show goes on. Otherwise, we don't know how we're coming across out there. So let's do this. And Peter, before that, hey, I just want to greet everybody and tell everybody thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing our broadcast with other people so that they can tune in. And thanks for following, actually pressing the button follow so that you can follow our broadcast so that you know when another episode will be and who the guest will be and what the topic will be. That way you'll be in the know and you could help share what's going on. So having said that, tonight we're going to let Peter share with us. So Peter, go ahead and tell us about your training business and what kind of training you do.
Marvelous. I'm glad to do that. Doc, first of all, allow me to say thank you very much for your invite to your show. And I've been listening on a couple of them. And you did a terrific job in discussing and with this industry, not so much just the dogs, but the things behind all the action that takes place, the people, the owners, the organizations. And, thank you very much. So, Outback Nation Dog Training. I started this about 4 years ago, and I got into it by way of my own dogs. We hired a professional. Professional helped us, saw the progress we were making, and he said I should consider doing this professionally. I had never thought of doing this type of work. But lo and behold, I fell in love with it. And so what I do now, I go to people's homes, help them with their dog and their issues, from basic training, aggression, fear, simple issues, difficult issues. Some things can be fixed in a day. Some things need some more time. Been very lucky. What else can I tell you, Doc?
Well, for a minute, since you started with saying you got into dog training by having gotten professional help with your own dog, let's talk your dog for a minute. And what were some of the issues you were having with your dog that you thought to seek help with a professional trainer?
These were puppies. Two puppies at one time. And we had just previously, about 9 months previously to the new puppies coming into the family, we had previously lost our first German Shepherd, Cabernet, an incredible dog. every now and then you come across a dog in your life that just falls into place in every aspect, and that's what Cabernet, Cabby, is what we called her. That's how Cabby was. She just fell into place everywhere, and she was just part of the family in every aspect. So we got these two puppies. I was out of my league in controlling and influencing them. I didn't have the tools. I knew there had to be a better way. So we hired a professional to help us and get started on the right foot. So we got the basic commands down, or instructions, if you will. You know, sit, place, come, things like that. Some walking on the leash. And a couple of lessons was all it took to get us started. And I was really impressed with the gentleman who helped us. And he said, Peter, you're doing really well. You should try this out. So here I am. That's what got me started. And the dogs,
okay,
the dogs were great.
Go ahead. Okay. So what I got out of that was you had shepherds, or have shepherds.
Yes.
And two puppies. And you said, uh-oh, I'm just a little bit over my head. I need some help.
Yeah.
So you went and got some help. Okay. And then you found out the guy you had help with was a pretty good guy. He knew what he was doing. How did you go about finding your trainer that you went with?
That was left to my wife. She initiated. She went searching online looking. And she came up with the gentleman. And the rest is history.
Okay. I'm going to refrain from making jokes on that one, but I'm just going to leave that alone and act like we're on a radio show here.
Or did I call into the wrong line?
The entertainer in me just almost snuck out right there. But, okay, so your wife is like, oh, my God, my husband needs help. I better find him some help.
So
she went online and she found somebody who could do it, and he actually was pretty good. And then he in turn said, dude, you're doing pretty good. Maybe you should think about doing this.
Yeah.
And you said, cool. Now, how did you go from his suggestion to actually opening a business of your own?
The first thing that happens, a discussion with the wife. You got to talk it over. If you're married, if you're in a relationship, you've got to talk it over with your partner, and that's exactly what we did. And we mulled on it for a while and did a little bit of research, looking at other trainers, and then started looking at schools and said, okay, let's do it.
And can I ask you, what training school did you finally decide on, or did you?
In Hutto is what was at the time called Triple Crown Academy for professional dog trainers.
Okay.
It is now called Starmark Academy. That's where I went to learn the business of dog training, from general training aspects to behavior aspects.
Cool.
It was
now,
a great introduction.
Did you coincidentally go to the same program that the trainer that you used went to, or was it completely different?
It was the very same one.
Huh? I'm pretty clever at this, aren't I? You don't have to lead me anywhere. I can just see where we're going.
You just might be.
Okay. Well, okay, so that's cool. So I'm trying to lay a little bit of foundation here, and, you know, it's what I do, and some people need it very plain and very clear. Now, you know that we're talking to an audience that is basically a service dog community. So we have trainers, we have handlers, we have owners that did their own training, We have organizations, we have programs, we have companies that sell product, we have book writers, authors, we have, you know, some of everybody that tune in and listen because of the community that we reach and the community that we try to build. And so you being a dog trainer, let's just bring out, you do not train specifically service dogs, and you're not a service dog organization, right?
That's correct.
Now, have you done any training that you know of for service dogs?
The first dog that I did train while I was at school, learning this, the first dog I did train did be go on and be picked up by a young lady who went and that dog became her service dog. So it just pretty much told me that I may not have trained a service dog in particular to do a certain aspect or a certain task. However, a good dog, whether companion or service, needs to have the basics.
There you go. Every dog needs to be trained up through a certain point, no matter if it's going to be a service dog, a house pet, a companion dog, a therapy dog, a working dog of some sort. Every dog needs a certain basic level of training.
Yes.
And as you have heard, folks, Peter started getting this training to be a service dog and started his own business, and we might have cut you off or we might have got derailed on the actual starting of the business, so we'll probably circle right back into that. But before all that, you were seeking professional help for your own dogs, and this is just a regular couple, a pair of house pets. And yeah, I know they're German Shepherds, but you didn't mention that they were guardian dogs or protection dogs. You kind of spoke like they were just regular house pets.
Exactly.
So am I right on that?
Yes, indeed.
Okay. So they were regular house pets, and hey, I need some help training. Now, I'm going to throw this out there, Peter, and you fix it, or you can just let it just sit and let it ring in people's ears. If this guy, who is now a professional trainer and who did so good in his own training classes that the trainer said, dude, you're pretty good at this, you might should become a professional trainer. If this guy turned and said, hey, I need help training my own personal dogs that are not service dogs, then how much more would a person who is training a service dog need outside help to train advanced techniques that a service dog would need? That just sounds real loudly in my ears that says, hey, folks, you can't do it all by yourself. Reach out and get some help. What do you say to that, Peter?
You said it. There's, as you mentioned a moment ago, the trainers, the handlers, the owners, the programs, people that have products to sell, all this little community that's out there. Everybody's got something that can assist you with in helping you get your dog to where it wants or needs to be. It could be a DVD that just gives you the right information. It could be the book. But it's always great to go with an organization that actually specializes in that neck of the woods of training. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
There you go. Now you just brought up a good little point that is an easy segue for me. Folks that specialize in what you need. Now, Peter, what would be your calling card? What's on your calling card? What do you go to Peter for when nobody else could handle it? when do you pick up the phone and call Peter?
When you have difficulty understanding the why of why is my dog doing this, I can help you understand the why, and I can help you get around that. Not just around it, but I can help you give an alternate behavior so that that previous behavior is less and even gone.
Okay. So basically, they're beating their head up against the wall, and they're doing what the book says. They're doing just like they saw on the video. They're doing just like what their friends told them to do. They're doing just like what they did with their other dog.
Oh, and don't forget YouTube.
Oh, yeah, they're on YouTube. And still, their dog is not responding the way they think it should respond. Then it's time to pick up the phone and say, hey, Peter, I hear you're pretty good at this. What you got?
Great.
Then it's time for Peter to put his cape on and jump on in and save the day.
Yes, more or less. Get on the highway, take a few minutes to get there and watch the dynamics of what's taking place. And then this way we can start tweaking and then get to the root of the problem. And oftentimes, as you know, it's not just the dog. Dog's got issues for a particular reason, and sometimes that blends over to the human. The person unknowingly may be causing some of the issues with a dog. Unknowingly. So just a few tweaks of behavior adjustment, mindful actions, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, you just brought up something right there. You just threw a hot potato in the circle, because I know I have a whole lot of owner trainers that listen. And these guys, they don't do nothing wrong. They are so super. That's why they don't feel the need to have outside help, because they can do it just as good themselves rather than pay X amount of dollars for some so-called professional. When there's no certification process at all anyway, so why bother to use these guys? You're telling us, hey, you could be missing something. It could be something you're doing that's causing the dog to react to you.
Yeah.
And you can't see it because you're the one doing it. And an outside person who knows what they're doing, who knows dog behavior, and who knows people behavior, can help you out and could, you know, very quickly say, oh, I got it. Let's try this like this and get your whole situation fixed.
Right. The line that comes to mind is, and like you mentioned a moment ago, I've watched the videos, I've read the books, I've seen the DVDs, I've talked to my friends, and they know what they're doing, and yet they still have the problem. And then so the thought comes to mind, and how's that working out for you?
Now, see, that's just down and dirty right there. You just look at eyeball to eyeball, and how's that working out for you? Well, my dog doesn't do this. I just got a dumb dog. I just got a stupid dog.
I guess I'm going to have to
wash this dog, because this dog is not getting it.
That's funny. That's right.
Well. Okay, Peter, so let's talk about APAC Nation Dog Training. Now, how did you come up with that name?
Well, everyone's pretty much familiar with pack mentality, and I put the word pack in quotes. Some look at it as not a good thing, and others look at it as just the way it is. So there's two different schools of thought on that word pack. However, to me, pack means a family. So we're just a nation of families. And I just thought of Pac Nation, and the word nation was out there quite a bit and various, and it just came up. Pac Nation sounds fine to me. It may change down the road.
Okay, well, I'm looking at it right now, and, you know, what you thought of it when you did it may not be what I'm thinking when I see it, but I see a Pac Nation. That gives me the thought this man might be national. And so I got to ask the question, what is your area of influence? Where do your clients come from, and what's your footprint, your business footprint?
Primarily Central Texas. I travel the roads of Central Texas, going to people's homes, going to their boats, going to their RVs. Wherever the dog's got the issues, wherever the difficulties are taking place, that's where I travel to. However, there are phone calls that take place, so we just across the nation. But my footprint, right here, Central Texas.
So you one of them Central Texas boys. Okay.
Yes, indeed.
I get it. There's more to life than football. You got
and
to
barbecue.
Have your dog training. Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to get into that. There can't be more to life than barbecue, because you got to have barbecue. I don't care what you're doing. Barbecue is where it's at. But, okay, so you mentioned RVs. Now,
yeah.
Do you RV yourself?
No, I sure don't.
But you go to the little campsites out there in Central Texas, and you got these people in some of the RV parks, and their dogs need training, believe you me. And somebody might call you out and say, hey, we're going to be here for a little bit, and I've got these training issues. Can you come out and work with us a little bit?
Right, and the thing is, there weren't issues before for some reason. Because life is so dynamic and things change, you know, people grow, our mindset changes day to day on various matters. A dog is almost no different. Their issues, their needs are constant. And as they grow, they mature and they settle, but yet something else may tweak and a fear may come in regarding something. And it doesn't surface until you get to the or doesn't surface till you get to the boat dock or the trailer hitch or something. And then that's when the owners decide, oh, my goodness, I need help. I don't know what's going on with our dog.
My dog's acted very well until this is the first time he started to doing this, and I can't seem to get him out of this behavior.
Right. The dog was perfect before that. Absolutely perfect. Socially, with other dogs, other humans, other people, places. For some reason, just getting over to the RV, or just getting, as an example, just getting into the RV, or getting on to the boat.
And you're able to come with an outside set of eyes and maybe see the thing that might trigger the dog or might cause fear in the dog or might cause anxiety in the dog.
Yes.
And a lot of times it might be the anxiety in the human wondering if the dog is going to have an issue that causes
mm-hmm.
the issue with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you're
mm-hmm.
able to see such a thing because you're an outside person and you know what to look for.
Yes, and that's where sometimes the leash is attached, sometimes they're off leash, and that message conveys whether the dog's on the leash or off the leash. When I talk about the message, it's like you said, how's the owner feeling? That whatever way that owner's feeling is going to be traveling, the dog will get it. There's anxiety, that dog's picking up on it. It's a magical thing. It's amazing.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. I had a couple of things.
Good.
And if I don't write things down, I get into so much what you're saying, and I forget what I was going to say. And if I chase a rabbit one way, I forget about the other rabbits the other way. But as I heard you talking, I was put in the mind of a therapist, a talk therapist for a human. You know, you might not have a chronic issue. You might have an issue that just popped up because the life situation changed. And so you go into your therapist just to see if you can get talked through this one particular issue. And it might be a 1-2-3 session deal, and you're good to go.
Yes.
And it's not like, you know, you're not stuck with this thing forever. And so, you know, that kind of sounded like, well, this is what Peter is into. This is what Peter does. This is his thing, is you come in and you fix the issue, or you work on the issue, you work toward the issue, come and identify what the issue is, and then work on the remedies to fix it.
Yes. It all happens in the dynamics of the household.
And in psychology, we call that a systems approach, because it's not an individual thing, it's in the system of the thing, the family deal, the environment, and what's going on with everybody. People might look at Bobby as the problem child, but the problem's not really Bobby. The problem is Bobby's reacting to something that's going on with mom and dad. And they have no idea that Bobby is picking up on this, and that's what he's reacting to. So he looks like the problem child. And but he's not the problem. The problem is over here with mom and dad. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to talk about people than to talk about Fluffy, because Fluffy can do no wrong. You know, Fluffy is just perfect. And, you know, you can't go telling me that, you know, we got a problem with Fluffy.
That's right. My dog is so sweet. He's a great dog. My dog is so sweet. Right. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I know at my website, when people contact me, I ask them to fill out a contact form. And they ask me what they would like assistance with. And it's always interesting in reading them over and when I get them. Mind if I read something to you?
Go ahead.
All right. There's all sorts. But here's just one of them. Let's see. We have a puppy, about 14 weeks. He's a pit my son found. He needs training along with my 18-year-old, who is the son probably, in how to control him because he's going to be big. He has been socializing him a lot. And we have a poodle and a chihuahua that he would like to play with, but they really don't want to. Picture right there. Gives me a scenario of what's going on. Here's another one. My dog jump up on us and guess. Need potty training. Shows leash aggression and are overprotective of me towards anyone approaching me. Also pulls on leash when walked. Sounds kind of normal. Behavior issues, just general training. This is much more than just sit, stay, come. This is understanding the dynamics and how people are interacting with their dogs to make their dog sometimes do these things unbeknownst to them. A dog could totally act one way with you, the owner, to give it to a whole nother person. Doesn't have to be a trainer, just another person. That dog could so enjoy themselves and just relax. And then on the other hand, that dog could be fearful of something. The owners make a big picture of the dynamics of what's going on.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Now, let's see. We're about halfway through the show. And let me stick this in there. Hey, folks, if you want to have a question or comment within the show, or if you want to not be tied to your computer and be able to walk about or go about, then you can call in and actually listen on your phone, or you can call in for a question or comment with your phone. Call in on this number, 646-668-2499. There will be a time when I open it up for questions or comments, and at that time, once you're called in, then you can press the number 1 on your phone keypad, and that will let me know that you have a question or comment, and we'll try to get you in. I just wanted to stick that in there, and Peter, give you a chance to get a breath and take a little break and just be like, okay, cool. And then, so that's out there. Peter, let's talk a little bit about some things that you may or may not even know that you are influencing. You talked about different time frames with a dog and different things that happen at different situations with a dog and in different environments with a dog. Well,
yes,
somebody with
their
a,
life.
Yes, and somebody with a service dog, especially if they, well, it doesn't matter if they have a program dog or if they have a trainer-assisted dog or if they did completely owner-trained dog, a lot of times you don't get the education of dogsmanship, just general, being a general dog owner, and you don't get that education. A lot of times you don't get the education of certain dog behaviors to look out for, certain stressors, stress indicators that show that the dog is being overstressed. And, you know, certain warning signs the dog gives us before the dog acts out. And a lot of times you don't get that as an individual who is not specifically trained in these things, because a lot of programs don't know it, so they don't offer it. A lot of trainers, you know, that's not exactly what you're asking them to do. So they're basically spending their time on the issue that you're asking them to help you with, so that you get the most for your money. And of course, if you're an owner trainer, most of the time you're just looking to train the task and the behaviors that you want. So you're not really getting an education on dog behavior. And so as a dog goes through its life, a dog has different periods of life where they go through certain things, and certain breeds go through certain things at certain times. And so generally it takes a lot of information about your specific dog to know what to look for at different times in the dog's life. So you might be an owner trainer and you might have trained your dog very well to do what you needed to do. And then something happens in your life or something happens in the dog's life that things change, and you might need help or an idea of training a new task or training out a old behavior and training in a new behavior or different things like that. Peter, can you talk just a little deeper on different changes a dog might go through in their life or the family might go through in their life where they might need to call on somebody to say, hey, we've had certain changes, we're seeing certain changes in the dog, and how can you help us?
Yes, indeed. We can start off with family. Family consists of parents and kids. anything in that equation that happens to depart the scene, whether it's passing or going off to school or any type of departure, the dog could experience something at that point. That's one. Families. Say, for example, there are pets in the home. If there were cats and everybody got along and something happened to one of the cats, or if there were other dogs, something happened to one of the dogs. Moving locations, changing a home, building a fence in a yard that wasn't there before. The wood on the fence has a scent. Most dogs are fine with it. I've seen the dog have a funny reaction to it. Changes in their environment in that way. Furniture inside the household. Sounds like something easy to get around. A dog could be very fixated on something that was there but isn't there anymore. And where is it? And they start to react in various ways. They start chewing on things because now they're nervous. Just little, those type of changes can influence a dog. To name a few.
Okay, I'll take just a few. Now, let's circle the wagons back a little bit. And let me just ask the question that if I was to just get a new dog, and it happens to be a puppy, if I happen to get a puppy, and, you know, I'm wanting to integrate the puppy into my home and, you know, get the puppy started on a good track, would you be the guy for me to call to come in and help me with the beginnings of that relationship? Or would you be one to refer me to somebody else?
Oh, I would want that business. But it's not so much it's just the business. I say that in all humor. I love those opportunities because now we're at the brand spanking beginning of a new relationship, like a new life, if you will. And you've got a puppy that's has ample opportunity to be everything that the family wants the dog to be. And it's so important to get the message to everybody in the family on how to proceed, what to expect at certain stages of the puppy's early months, because that's all you have to really shape that dog. And, of course, starting off a puppy, oh, my gosh, the last thing you want to do is to scare them or frighten them. So you want to start off on the right foot. I say, go ahead, call me.
Okay, great. Now, is your business model based on you going to the people in their homes or in their environment, wherever they're at? Or do you have, like, some group classes that you do somewhere? Or do you have, like, a office, a training field that you can bring folks to? Or how does your model work?
The model is, I go to people. I go to the residents, wherever they need the help. And then I do have the ability to take care of two, board and train at my residence. So I can handle two dogs at once at the house.
Okay, there's no so you other, do offer the board and train.
Yes.
Okay. Let me talk a minute about that board and train.
I think that was somebody calling for business.
Well, there you go. Somebody's, like, needing you. Now, you put them on hold for 20 minutes. I'll let you get at them. Although that could be some good training to actually hear a phone call, but no, we're not going to do that. I don't have a 10-second hold on here so that if something went wrong, we can let it go. But with your board and train, what would be your scope of practice on that, and what are some different things that you actually handle with your board and train?
The matters that I take care of, puppy training, puppy from potty training, teaching them to ring the bells, how to indicate so they can go to the bathroom. That's a very long and tedious process, that potty training. And then, of course, general manners, door manners, regular obedience issues, instructions like come, sit, stay, leave it, off. What else? Healing is another word. So we go from puppy training, potty training, general obedience, and even some behavioral material.
All right. Now, this is a big one that a lot of people would like to know, and they just don't know how to ask. So I'm going to ask it. How does when you board and train, how does that training transfer over into the family that has the dog?
Great question.
Well, you know, I have some good ones.
I can't wait to turn the page to the others. So the way it transfers, the dog learns the behavior here. I get to the residence. I explain with examples and then have the family in turn do it. So there is definitely follow-up lesson at the home to make sure that everything that we worked on is covered at the residence. Because the dog brings your questions great in another way. A dog learns not just by what they hear, what they smell, what they feel, but what they see. When you ask a dog to stop in one place, they have this picture in mind. But when you ask them to stop at this other place, that picture is not the same. So now they have to kind of relearn it. This is just part of the training that goes on at the residence for a follow-up.
Okay, so you're one of those trainers, behaviorists, what have you, that works not only with the dog, but also with the handlers.
Yes, handlers being the owners, the parents, the family, the kids, other dog walkers that are responsible, any caretakers that are responsible for the dogs while the owners are away, them as well. Oftentimes, many of my clients, when they leave, they're leaving the dog with somebody that's at the residence, watching the residence and what have you. They, too, must know.
Yes, indeed. Now, that's not a real big problem with service dog people, except for when a service dog is not able to accompany their handler, and somebody else has to take charge of the dog. Hmm. Well, the dog has to be able to work out with the optional person as opposed to, you know, only being able to deal specifically with the handler. Which might be another reason to have training from an outside third person to work with you and your service dog, because that gets your dog able to listen and take training or direction from another person.
Yes.
Because there will be times when you can't deal with your own dog. Yes. Go ahead. Oh, you just wanted to say yes? I can take an amen.
Oh, no.
It don't bother me none at all. I thought you had something else to say behind that. I thought I had encouraged you to say something.
You so did. It was there at the tip of my tongue. And it's acclimated. It's acclimating the dog to others and generalizing it in different scenarios. Those are just some terms that dog trainers, and as you know, use. Acclimating, generalizing. Very helpful.
There you go. Now, since you, I brought it up, but you kind of expanded on it, I want you to expand on that just a little more and speak to the importance of the generalizing of the training, the generalizing of the commands, because a lot of people are not in this school of thought. A lot of people think only I should be able to give commands to my dog. My dog, and I hear this on a lot of my groups that are not mine, but groups that I'm in, is, you know, people are very, very proud that their dog only responds to their commands. And these are service dogs. And without stealing your thunder, but just serving it up to the net so you can slam it down, what are some of the reasons why we should be cautious of this kind of training, and we should be more proactive in the generalizing of the commands, the generalizing of the training, the generalizing of the behaviors and such?
Two words come to mind. One, and I may be in kind of politically incorrect in going there. Oh, gosh, what were those words? Generalizing. Oh, selfishness and pride come to mind. Selfishness and pride, now, which is doing a disservice to the dog. Having the dog just be with the ability to work with one person. What happens if something happens to that one person, the handler, if you will? Anything. Could be any accident. Now somebody else needs to come along and take responsibility, I would imagine, of the dog while the handler is unable to go about their daily routine because of an accident. So it's so important to have that training generalized and the dog acclimated with others.
Man, I like hearing what you're saying. I'm not cutting you off. If you got more, go ahead, go for it.
No, I'm steaming at the moment.
Oh, well, you got to simmer down.
I just can't imagine. I'd hate to imagine somebody being selfish and whatever that, the prideful to have somebody else have the ability to work their dog. That's love. Love is sharing, and love is having somebody be able to take care of their dog when the handler or the owner is not able to. Oh my gosh, you gotta love your dog enough to let somebody else take care of them when you can't.
Man, I told you I was going to set it up to the net for you, and you just taking it down. See, this way everybody's mad at you. They're not mad at me because I didn't say it. You said it, which is, you know, cool because, you know, you got to pay something for being on my show. I mean, somebody got to take the weight. So thanks, Peter.
You're welcome.
No, but really, there are a lot of people in the service dog world. This is, you know, the community that we're speaking to tonight. But I know in the yard dog world and in the protection dog world, you know, these are big too, but those are different reasons. And, you know, there might be some pluses and minuses in both sides of that. But in the service dog world, I like the way you put it. And I really hope that people can see and feel the energy behind what you're saying. And they don't just shut down and, you know, I'm not hearing that because, you know, my way is the way. That's the only way. But they're able to hear what's behind what you're saying. Because mm-hmm. what you're saying is heartfelt. And I can tell you're taking a lot of the passion out of what you're saying. But there's a lot of passion in what you are saying. And you are talking specifically for the dog.
Yeah.
And I, as a breeder, you know, I am for my dog. Yes, I do train service dogs. And I do work with people who need service dogs. But I am compassionate for the people who need the service dog. And I want my dogs to go to people who have the biggest need. But I am very, very passionate about my dog. And I want to make sure that my dog is placed with somebody who cares for my dog like I care for my dog. I don't want to place my dog in just any home.
Right.
And, sure. You know, the way that you address that, wow, I just can't even believe people would be that selfish to, you know, actually boast about my dog only takes commands from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that passion in what you're doing. And, folks, I just got to say it right now. Usually I save it till the end of the show. Wow, look at the clock. We are getting close to the end of the show. But if you have a need for a trainer, if you are an owner trainer, if you have a program dog that you've had from the program for a while, if you have had a trainer-assisted training and maybe you were not happy with that trainer and you either live in Central Texas or have the means to talk Peter into coming to your location,
that's
I would suggest that you have Peter work with you and your dog. There might be some issues there you don't even see are issues. But having someone who is passionate about your dog, like you are passionate about your dog, working with you and your dog, that is a blessing. And I have lots of trainers on the show, as you guys know. And I ask each one of them to promote their business. But I'm feeling a little something towards Peter that says, I won't be disappointed by referring you to a guy like him. And so I'm doing so, and I'm doing so open and honest and saying, hey, give this guy a chance to work with you and see if he can help you with your issues or see if he can help you take you and your dog, your team, to the next level. Now, Peter, I done did a little bit of it, and I think when other people promote you, does tons better than you promoting you. But at the same time, if you don't promote yourself, then it kind of takes away from other people promoting you because you got to believe in what you're doing and that kind of thing. So looking at my clock, it is time that I should say to you, Peter, Peter, do me a favor and tell the folks just why they should pick up the phone or why they should get online and why they should work with you.
Oh, my. Time to ring my bell.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Let's see. There are a number of trainers that are out there, and I hope that they're all passionate about what they do. I know there's a variety of techniques and approaches that may not agree with certain owners. That's why they come to people like myself. I'm educated in all manners of approach with the dog. I especially enjoy the positive approach with our dogs. This way enables them to learn comfortably, peacefully, and everybody's happy. I take care of puppy matters from the day they get home. If you have to ask me, Peter, when should I start training? I'm going to say the day you got your dog, unless you want to call me the day before so we can start working then. Because the moment you pick up your dog, they're learning. And they're going to learn from somebody or another dog, but they're going to learn. So it's call a professional. Operators are standing by.
All right. Now, you said that. Now, I'm going to push you just a little bit further. You say call a professional and operators are standing by, but you didn't give a number, nor did you give a website, nor did you give an email. You didn't give a Facebook. You didn't give them any way to call a professional.
Stars, here it is. Peter, here's the email address. Peter@apacnation.com. The phone number, 512-257-7225. And, of course, the website, www.apacnation.com. Hey.
Now, do you want to give a Facebook a Facebook address or the Facebook page or anything like that? You may or may not want to.
It would be the same, I would imagine. On Facebook, it's APAC Nation Dog Training. Yelp, I'm on Yelp, APAC Nation Dog Training. Google, the same way. I've got reviews. They're beautiful. I look forward to helping you, your dog, and the family. Doc, you're
that is
great
super.
Out there.
Hey, you know, I try real hard to, you know, do something that's worth listening to and try to bring people in front of folks that people need to hear. And, you know, I try to provide an environment that people want to come on and they feel comfortable on my show. One, promoting their business, giving an education to people that are thirsting for knowledge. Because we have some issues in the service dog community. And if we in the community don't do anything to fix it, then people outside of the community are going to try to fix it, and it won't be a fix that is a good fix. So, you know, there's purpose behind what I do, and why that, you know, my service dog organization invest in a show like this, bringing other professionals into the mix. Because, you know, I don't have all the knowledge. I don't have all the wisdom. And just like most mom and dads and or coaches, you know, our families, our teams, every once in a while need to hear the message from somebody else.
Amen.
And, you know, that gives some kind of credibility to the message. But, look, if you was wanting to call in with a question or comment, now would be the time to do so at 646-668-2499. If not, we're going to go ahead and we're going to end this show on all kind of high notes. So call in now if that is your plan to do so. Hey, Peter, I always do two things on my show when I have a guest. One is encourage you to promote your business. and two, give you an opportunity and a chance to speak your mind to the community and, you know, share the message that's passing it on your heart that you've been waiting since we booked the show to be able to say. So I don't want to, you know, be the one to censor. So I want to give you that opportunity to speak freely to the community that may be listening tonight. Go ahead and take a few minutes and speak your mind to the point where people within the service dog community might need to hear.
Okay. Thank you, Doc. Thank you very much for this medium. All right. When you get a dog, oftentimes, whether the dog is given to you, whether you invite the dog into your life, this dog has one thing in mind, for the most part. It's to please you. If you, as the owner, do the right thing from the very beginning, build a relationship, show them some house manners, set the expectations, give them what they need. They need their exercise, they need their food, they need their water, shelter, love, praise. You give them what they need, they will give you so much more back. And you'll see less of me. However, I will be there if you ever need any help in turning any issues around. The business is called APAC Nation Dog Training. I'm in Central Texas, Austin to be particular. But I come to you. I want to thank you very much for listening to the show.
Well, all right, Mr. Peter. Hey, listen, I do appreciate you, Peter, taking the time to come on the show and to share with myself and the people who are undoubtedly listening and those who will be listening on podcast. This is one of those shows that keeps on giving because we do air it live and then it's placed and archived as a podcast so that people can listen to it. And I do very little editing of this show when it goes to podcast. In fact, to this point, I've done no editing, which I need to get to some editing because some shows basically need editing. This is the show, and this is it, live. And I appreciate you coming on and sharing and taking your time, like I said. And if, you know, you decide sometime in the future, hey, Doc, I got some really interesting stuff. Or, hey, I've been seeing this, a lot of this, and I'd like to speak to it. Then, you know, message me and, you know, we'll get you on again because I like to partner with positive people who are doing positive things for the right reasons. And I do get that you are one of those people.
Thank you, Doc.
So I want to thank you. And, folks, we don't have anybody calling in with a question or comment. So at this point, our hour's done. And I want to thank you for listening tonight. I want to thank you for actually pressing the follow button to let me know that you're there. It's encouraging to me to see those follow numbers grow because that kind of lets me know that I'm doing the right things the right way and bringing the right people on and talking about the things that are important to you. So please press that follow button and continue to share our links with friends and groups and people who might benefit from it. So many times those of us in the service dog community are isolated and withdrawn. So we want to be able to reach out and touch as many lives as we can and bring about a positive change. where change is needed. So thanks for listening. You know, we send love to everybody, and we want you to love your dog, love your animal, and it's going to love you right back. And so until tomorrow, when we have another great guest, take care of yourself and get yourself some rest and come back on tomorrow, and we'll do it all over again with another exciting guest. So good night, and be good to yourself.
Good night, everybody. Good night, Doc.
Good night, my man.